Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January the 30th, 2021. This is Season 15, Episode 4. I'm Stocks, Scott.
And I'm RJ. See, what do we talk about?
I did that on purpose.
You sure?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I promise you. Because that's what we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
But if you'd like to get in touch with us, if you want to throw in your two cents, because trust me, trying to figure out the stock market, I'll take everybody's help. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at InGameChat. Our stock identification is IGC. you can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch TV. Go to twitch.tv, type in game chat, you'll find us. Go to our website, you can just click on the link, and that's the easiest way to get to us. So you can watch the show live while we broadcast. You can find us there. You can also join in the chat room live while we broadcast, and maybe join in the conversation with everybody there who, it hasn't updated. But I can tell you that RJ's in there, AC Wraith, Duke Frukum, which I haven't seen in a while. Hey, Duke. And Lethal Migraine, hanging out in the chat room. I'll check that later to see, I don't know, that may be all that's in there, which is perfectly fine, but see who else is in here. We're going to get into talking about, look, it has absolutely nothing to do with video games. It really doesn't. It is by coincidence only that it happened to be GameStop's stock. It has nothing to do with GameStop as a company. Well, I mean, it does have to do with the fact that GameStop was just barreling down. As far as just, you know,
dive bombing,
just sinking. And still, they're nowhere. The company is not near worth what it's holding in stock or what the stock price is for it right now, which I think Friday it closed at 300, 350, I think was the final one. Well, I got it right here. Well, I had it right here. 312.
Yeah.
Looks like where it was closed.
I'm trying to remember what the highest value was, like a little over 400 something, wasn't it?
It went over, I think it went up to, 450, 460, something like that.
At one point, yeah.
Yeah, so. We'll get into that. There is website after website, and a lot of gaming websites bringing this up. And again, it's only because it was GameStop. If this was, when I joined Robinhood, the app a year ago, almost a year ago, February of last year, it gives you a free stock when you join up.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you want to join up with them and use me as a reference, that's fine. I'll get more free stock. But the whole point is I've not put any money into this thing whatsoever. They gave me a free stock. It was something called Plug Power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that's fine. It was like $4. And I would check it every day and it's like, okay, it's up a few cents. That's great. Eh, whatever. I stopped checking it after a while.
Yeah.
Now the thing's going on. The whole idea of the stock market is just like, no, I can't learn this. I can't get into it. I'm not gonna do it. I did open it back up when I heard this GameStop stuff was going on.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, my plug is sitting at $60-some-odd. I'm like, hey, that's great. I only have one share of it, and I didn't put anything into it, but it's a free $60.
Yeah.
My point being is that it could have been something like the Plug Power thing, which I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. And probably these websites wouldn't have brought it up at all.
Mm-hmm.
But because the name was GameStop, because it was a video game retailer, they're gonna talk about it. A lot of people are confused. I saw my friend Dave, who's up in Colorado, I saw him post about it on his Facebook page, asking about this whole thing because he didn't understand it either, and you know was wondering how does this affect employees, and you know that's the whole point. This has nothing to do with the company itself, mm-hmm. other than the company was dying. Yeah. It's not. By the way, it's because the stock's doing so great doesn't mean that they're being saved.
True.
From decimation. That's not in any way that it's working, which is a shame because, you know, that's some jobs, employees and things like that. It'd be nice if this was doing. I will say that it's giving them nothing but free advertising. Mm-hmm. Their name is getting mentioned more than they could ever think to pay for as far as advertising.
That's true.
In fact, when was the last time you saw a commercial television for GameStop?
I haven't.
When was the last time you heard a commercial on the radio for GameStop? The only time you see GameStop ads, I think, used to be on you know, browser ads.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
But yeah, some pop-up on social media or something like that.
Yeah, but I've used ad blocker for a long time, so yeah. I don't see it either.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They're getting a ton of free mentions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the people aren't going in saying, you know, GameStop, who's having a 2-for-1 sale right now, restrictions apply, see store for details. You know, they're not doing any of that stuff. They're just saying the name over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it really has nothing to do with the company itself. It just happened to be a video game retailer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and look at the other ones that have kind of latched onto this whole thing as far as what they're doing. There's Nokia. There's BlackBerry.
Yeah.
There's AMC.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brand called Naked that's in there. And again, nobody's writing about those because GameStop was the linchpin. I say the linchpin. It was the catalyst. It was the yeah. one that started it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's tons of websites that are explaining it. My best advice is if you've got money you don't care about, and honestly, in the conditions that we're in, you probably should care about every single dollar you've got. But if you've really got money that you don't care about, and I'm not talking $30. I mean, I'm not talking about, well, I can skip lunch next week or something like that. No. I'm talking about hundreds of dollars, possibly, you know, a good chunk of $1,000 or so. So let's say your stimulus. Let's say your little, the stimulus check, you know, the $1,200 that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk in those realms. If you've got something like that to just, you know, drive around in your car and throw out the window.
Yeah. Literally disposable income.
Sure. Well, go ahead.
Have at it.
You know, take a look, learn how it works and see what you can do. That's perfectly fine. But if you're not anywhere in that position, just don't. Don't. I haven't yet. I've been tempted so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting tempted. I say it now. If I could have just done it last week.
It was just a week ago. Yeah, just a week ago would have been.
Well, March of last year, again, when I first got into this whole Robinhood thing, March of last year, I think it was sitting at like $4 mm-hmm. a share.
Yeah.
You know, and so we did the math on the morning show or something. Like if you had bought, I don't know, if you bought like 1,000 of them at $4 a share, well, whatever, you'd have had $400,000
mm-hmm.
As of last week. Or probably more than that, actually. But still, mm-hmm. And that's basically how it always works. You look at something and, hey, that looks like it might do good. You buy into it, and then it's going to, you know, it's going to do one or two things. It's going to go up. It's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. You're going to gain. You're going to earn money. You're going to lose money.
Yeah.
It is basically, it's like government gambling.
Yeah, it's a risk.
It's legal government gambling. And everybody's okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's really weird in this state where we don't have a lottery or well, we do have casinos only on the Indian land,
mm-hmm.
but in a state where we don't have a lottery and really they haven't done anything like that. They're like, oh, you're in stock market? Sure, go ahead.
Look, it doesn't matter. You got the state next door that does.
I understand. Yeah, we go. Look, every state surrounding us
yeah.
has some form of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, which is why I push many, many times that, look, don't worry about the lottery.
Yeah.
Legalize the weed. That'll bring in more money than the lottery does. Just legalize it, set up the shops, and we'll get, you know, all that money that goes out of this state going into others for the lottery stuff, it's going to swarm back into us. People going down to the beach, well, I say that, but, you know, when I'm back before COVID,
mm-hmm.
People going to the beach and stuff like that, headed through, they're going to do a little detour, come by, pick up some stuff and go.
some stuff.
It's a look, having been to Seattle and knowing people who live in the other places where this stuff is legalized, and there's tons, it's easier to count states that don't have it legal now than it is to count the states that do. Mm-hmm. And there's a wealth, there's so much, there's a treasure trove just waiting to happen, but we won't do it, which is fine. It's like, all right, that's fine. But again, that's what the stock market is. It's a form of legal, basically, gambling. You're betting that this is going to do good, and if it does, you win, and if you don't, you lose, and then it'll go up again, and oh, you won, and you didn't have to do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. That's getting into the basics of it, and I am not by no means some sort of financial advisor whatsoever. Do not take my advice.
I will say the whole situation has really piqued my interest, really, like, interesting how stocks work, really. I've seen the explanation of how this whole situation with GameStop went through, and I'm like, man, that could...
In less than a week, I learned more about the stock market than I ever... I'm 42 years old, than ever I have in my life.
Exactly. The fact that someone could lose that much when a bunch of people just got together with the same idea, and that happened.
Yeah.
That's the amazing part of it.
Oh, man, Thar66 says up in Canada they're still called EB Games. Yeah. EB Games, and don't forget Software, et cetera.
Software, et cetera, yeah.
Babbage's.
I remember that too.
Used Babbage's, to be one. Yeah. Babbage's you couldn't get unless you went up to North in Birmingham and went to the Galleria up there. Oh, they've got a Babbage's. They're fancy. All we got is EB, which was Electronic Boutique.
Yeah, Electronics Boutique.
Yeah, that's what that was, Electronics Boutique. Which had nothing electronical other than video games, you know? Electronics Boutique sounds like it would be a rival to Circuit City, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a rival, or say Circuit City existed, but all they sold were video games.
Yeah.
That's an odd name for a company, Circuit City, and all you sell is video games. Why not call it Electronic Boutique? It just still doesn't make sense. But anyway, I'm going back over the chat room here because obviously they are talking about the stock stuff. Thar says, I am not gambling on stock anymore since the telco crashes of 2000 or so lost real and potential money, a lot of money. Look, and let me tell you about this, about the GameStop stuff. There will come a time where it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's done, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to lose a lot of money on this. Now, if you got in last week, you're probably pretty good because I think it was the day I say last week. I forget that we do this on Saturdays where last week could be the week this week. The day after the inauguration, the 21st, shares were, I think, like $30. So even if you got in then, you're probably doing okay. Getting in now is a little bit risky.
Very.
Getting in now and thinking you're going to make some killer profit off of it is possible, but it's really, really risky. And there's still some people who are looking, you know, waiting for Monday because Monday's the first. It's payday. I think you're going to see a massive increase in that stock.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's going to do you any good, but I think you're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a ton of stuff where it could go sideways, and it could go sideways for a lot of people. And I don't even mean like we want it to go sideways for the hedge fund folks, you know, the Wall Street elite type people that they're originally going after on this whole thing. That's fine for it to go sideways on them, but because they're fine, they're whatever, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the hit and that'll be that. But everybody else are individual people, not companies that just have all this money sitting in a vault somewhere and also have all these other companies that can back them with money as well, should they lose it.
Yeah, that's what happened after the first surge. They got money from somewhere else, and then that money disappeared just like that.
Yeah, it's companies versus a bunch of individual people, you know? And the companies losing the money is no skin off their back type of thing. I mean, yeah, it is, but not like when individual number 75, who put in the rest of what he had in his savings, is now gone because he didn't know to get out in time.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that whole situation.
Yeah. I see what Lethal Migraine said in the chat about hedge funds getting purchased already. So because they couldn't cover their shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We know. Okay, yeah. Casket Sharp's here in the studio here answering the phones. If you want to hear from Casket Sharp, call us 272-9228. But no, Biloxi Gambler's on the phone. He's called us before. He plays games. And so he listens to this station endlessly, but he does play some video games and he does.
And I play the stock market and I have since the 70s.
Yeah. So how wrong was I in everything that I just said?
You're not wrong. In fact, when I was in college, when we signed up for classes, I just kept signing up for classes in the lines that had the prettiest girls. Mm-hmm. And then I got to get out of college at some point. And then they said, well, do that money thing. You do that money stuff.
You do a lot with money. I don't know what your background is. I just know your name's Biloxi Gambler, and that tells me that you mess around with money a lot.
Yeah, which is why I'm an options trader. But, let me add some more to what you've already said. You haven't been wrong about anything, Jay. Or you go by Scott on this show. Jay,
I don't
Scott,
care. It doesn't matter, man. They know who I am.
It doesn't matter. Okay. All right.
You call me whatever you want to call me. Jay Stock.
The reason the market is going down Friday is because these companies, when they shorted, what's the name of it? GameStop. When they shorted GameStop. Oh, let me get back to GameStop. You say it won't help the company. It depends on how much treasury shares they have. Because, see, a stock doesn't release 100% of their shares into the market.
Right, but I don't think they've got any.
Okay, well, then that's a problem that the CFO should be fired for. Because if they had even 100,000 shares in treasury stock, then that $4 that went up to $400, of course, you're not going to sell at the high. But if they sold it at $300, which they still could in the overnight market, that's 298 times 100,000, and then you close your underperforming stores, and then you go to more of where you mail in. I think they're a big game trading with used games, mm-hmm. and you go, okay, well, you could go back to that Netflix model that they had, mostly online, going back and forth that way. So they could salvage the company because of this. Anyway,
right. Last year, during 2020, I know that we had a number of different stories that would pop up for the news talking about the store itself and the company itself just having the hardest time, man. They were closing stores left and right. I don't know how many stores they closed. Like, it was in the thousands, the five-digit range of stores that they were closing because of the underperformance. I'm not sure, and I don't take my word on it, but I'm not sure that they had any stock left that they were holding on to. I want to say that they got right out of it, or they let that stuff go because
they were just letting it spiral down, and that's why that one dude figured out, and that's why they started shorting, which would be good to start with. And then this phenomenon happened of, I guess, millennials getting stimulus checks and playing around with Robinhood. So that opened it up, and they should not have frozen the kids out. I call them kids because I'm an old man. But they shouldn't have, because they did stop trading. And
they
I'm going, wait a minute. They should be able to play the game, too.
I know.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It happened on Thursday, I remember, because I was waiting for it to open back up because I wanted to possibly mm-hmm. purchase some. And before the day opened, they had already restricted you from buying those stocks. You could sell them, and I want to go through this. I know that this
but,
is not
but
normally.
Robinhood shouldn't be the one that makes that decision. The trading commission makes that decision. Anytime there's some kind of huge anomalies like that, they can freeze trading.
Yeah.
And they can do it across the board. But let me tell you, here's part of the effect that you haven't mentioned. But here's the deal. Okay, so you're a hedge fund, right? Let's say we got Jay's hedge fund.
Yep.
Okay, and you short sold, which is a stupid idea to short sell anything, by the way. I mean, I prefer put options.
What does that – see, you're throwing out lingo that people may not understand.
I'm going to explain it to you. That's what I'm doing right now. Okay, a short sell is – let's say you drive a Nissan, okay? So Jay drives a Nissan. Well, what I do is I come along – and I sell your Nissan, it's worth $20,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sell your Nissan for 10 grand. So I take the 10 grand and I put it in my pocket. I got 10 grand. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't own the Nissan. I borrowed, you know, the right to sell your Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and I'm betting that your Nissan is going to go down to $5,000.
Right.
Then I go back to you and I go, hey, sell me that Nissan for 5 grand, please. And I keep the 5 grand spread. That's what a short sale is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's why the rest of the market is hurting, is because they do this. Of course, we're talking stocks. They do it, you know, these little stupid $4 stocks. Okay, well, it's no big deal. They didn't think they had a big risk because there was no risk of it going up, right? Not to a drastic
amount. Not to what they were thinking. No, exactly.
I mean, if it goes up, it goes up to $6. Okay. Well, there's a thing called a margin call. So I have to constantly, when I short sell something, I have to constantly maintain a 50% equity. So when it goes from $4 to $14, I've got to have $7 in it. Well, I didn't have $7 in it, did I?
No.
Okay. Well, I've got to put more cash in. Well, if you don't have that cash, then I got to turn around. And, of course, in this case, it went to 100, 200, 300, 400. Okay. I got to turn around and I got to sell my Apple stock, my Microsoft stock, my U.S. Steel,
To cover that spread, to cover what's happened. Yeah.
That's right. And then that drives the rest of the other prices down. So, and I love it, but it's driving these billionaires and these hedge fund managers crazy.
Yeah.
Because nobody saw it coming. But it's a combination of the stimulus money, the Robinhood website, people not working and sitting at home and trying to figure stuff out. So in that respect, I'm all for free and open markets, and they should not have been interrupted with.
No, they shouldn't. When that happened, and honestly, it was a what could you say? I don't even know what the term would be, but Robinhood stopped. A lot of the individual sellers, the retail.
Yeah, suddenly it wasn't available to purchase or use anymore. Yeah.
Well, see, they were holding on to it, and they couldn't do anything but sell. They couldn't buy anymore. They could only sell what they had. However, that was only restricted to these individual people. The hedge fund corporations, the bigger stock pro type people, they were allowed to buy, sell, do whatever. Mm-hmm. What they started doing was selling that.
And that should be illegal, and I hope there's lawsuits, and I
know
there are. Because let me tell you, what they're doing is because just like I said in my example, as that stock price goes up, these hedge fund people have to maintain a 50% equity, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to put in more money or sell something to come up with the money to have that 50% equity. And what Robinhood did was protect the hedge fund managers from losing money because as the stock price went up, then they were losing money, and so they protected, and I bet somebody got paid off to do that.
Robinhood is owned by a hedge fund, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, hedge fund.
And if you would like to know who works at that hedge fund that Robinhood is owned by, you might recognize the name. I mentioned him on the morning show, but Ben Bernanke. So you might be familiar with that name. He's not the owner of it, but he is employed by them.
He was the Treasury Secretary at one time.
Was. Yeah.
See, it's all insider trading. That's why Nancy Pelosi has so much. Well, her husband.
She got the Tesla stuff.
Her husband makes the money. It's insider trading all the way around. There's people that need to go to prison.
It is. No. It is. Once I looked into this and once I was reading about it, I suddenly realized how rigged the system is. And it was unbelievable how rigged it actually is in favor of the billionaires, obviously, because they get the money. But I'm hoping something that will come out of this, like you said, that will the laws or the restrictions or whatever that is created out of this will err on the side of the retailer, of the individual, not
of the individual. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, not the...
But no, if that company's not worth it, well, that's a whole other discussion. I know you got to go to a break, and I don't want to bore everybody and teach an economics class. But anyway, I just started playing Until Dawn, by the way, because I'm still in quarantine. I'm kind of enjoying that. I'm doing that right now.
That's a nice little one there. Because it's all quick time, isn't it?
It's a quick time decision making, and decisions that you make early can affect something way down the line.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with your decisions in that game.
It really is like watching a horror movie that every now and then they bother me with a decision. I love it.
Exactly.
It's easy.
Exactly.
That gives me a break from the show, the baseball game. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's something different. I'm not a high-tech gamer with the Destiny or whatever it is. I'd be scared of, I'll get into them one day.
Anyway. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for calling, man, and thanks for giving us an explanation on it.
All right, man. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
We might get into some more of that. I think we may have run its course because, honestly, the deeper you go into that stuff, the more confusing you can get, especially when you start bringing in all the other different, different terminology and everything else.
Yeah.
It can lead to a headache. And really, I don't necessarily want to simplify it enough that somebody looks at it and says, I think I can do good on this, and goes off of what I've said to do something and then loses everything. So I really don't want to be that person.
Stock market is something you have to put some research in if you want to go into that. But yeah.
You need to have, like I said, money that you can throw out of the window of a moving vehicle.
Disposable income.
Anyway, we do have to take a break. When we come back, we will get to the phones here, and we'll also go over some of the games we played as well. We'll probably get back to the stock thing because, honestly, it dominated the week. But there is some other news to go over, so we'll do that. That is coming up on In-Game Chat. Here is music from a game called Neon Chrome. I don't have a title. I think this is, how they take a game and they say, well, this is the title of the track. So this is Neon Chrome with Neon Chrome. We'll be back with more In-Game Chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from, it's just like Neon Chrome. This is from something called Disjunction, and apparently the name of the track is also called Disjunction. Can you hear okay? Okay. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Okay, let's go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much, just talking about the stocks. What's going on with you, man?
Not much. Waiting for the new yeast or spell, YS that's coming out, and I think it's the second on PlayStation 4, and I can't wait to jump into that one. But
RJ may know something about that. I'm not familiar with it.
It's a long-running, action-adventure role-playing series.
The YS or Yeast or whatever it's called.
I heard it was called East or something
East.
Like that.
It's pronounced something like East or something like that. But, YS. I've often called them both.
I called it Wise the first time I ever saw it.
But, I think the number nine is, coming out here real soon. I've been looking forward to that one, and in the meantime, I just picked up one of those cheap role-playing games that was on sale on the PlayStation Store from Kimco, the like the Chinese company, you know, like the equivalent to a Chinese company that pushes out all kind of products, you know, all over the all the time. But, you know, they have some decent role-playing games, but I found one that was pretty
well-rated. PlayStation Store is having a sale right now, aren't they? Seems like they're always having a sale.
Yeah, they're always having a sale of some sort.
But I know that there were three games I was looking at on the PlayStation Store, which were down cheap, and they're all games that I've played before. But to have them digital would be kind of nice. And it was Shadow of the Colossus, the remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Patapon and Patapon 2, which used to be for the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Vita, but the PSP, mm-hmm. PlayStation Portable, that I had those. And I enjoyed the Patapon because it was all beat reference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time it with the beat to do what you have to do. So
rhythm
I enjoyed
game.
That. Yeah. But I think Shadow of the Colossus is like $12 right now, and Patapon 2 are like $7 and $8. So not too bad. Shadow looks probably like the one that I would probably go with, just for the fact that I would like to have that on my digital, because I bought it for the Steelbook. But I would love to have it. See, that's the thing. I already own it, yet I'm about to spend $12 to own it again.
Don't feel bad. Look, I've done that too.
You've double dipped before. Triple dip.
Oh, I've done it.
Triple
yeah.
dip on some.
We're all guilty of that sometimes.
Burnout's
you know.
The one I've spent. I don't know how many times I've bought a Burnout game over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Paradise being the one, especially if you count the remastered among the others, then I bought that game many times. What else going on with you, Chris? Anything new?
Messing with the remote control train set. I bought another engine. You know, I got two working engines now, and somebody had one that had the engine plastic track to it and the original remote, and that one worked. So I tested it with both engines. You know, it works with both of them. So something's messed up with that other remote that I had. So now I've got everything back together and all. And eventually down the road, you know, my buddy Mason and his son, you know, his son's 5 right now. So in about 2 years, I was going to pass one set down to him and keep one, you know, one of them in the original box that I found and everything, and just put it back and keep it as a collector's edition. And that way we can both have something to have fun with, and I'll have a collector's item that's in 100% working condition. And I want to, I've got a cheap RC transmitter and, a transmitter and receiver kit that I bought on eBay. Like, you know, the old ones that you hold where the steering wheel, that would turn the directions and the trigger would give it the gas. So I want to find out which one controls which on that circuit board and rewire the other engine to use that little kit, so that'll last a lot longer in an 8-year-old's or 7-year-old's hands than the original one that's real finicky, that's, you know, made in 1998. So I'll keep a collector set for me and pass him one down to him down the road too, that he and his family can enjoy and get the best out of both worlds, I guess you could say.
That's good.
And I found a whole bunch of plastic tracks, so I was working on figuring out how to box the whole train set up and a few cars and everything I got with that other one, and I figured out how to put it all in one box with the original track. So now, of course, I got to unpack it again and eventually fix it with that other receiver kit that I found, but
yeah. That's
okay. At least I figured part of it out, and I've got it boxed up and it's out of the way for the time being.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling. It's good to hear from you.
So y'all been talking about the GameStop stuff that's been going on, huh?
Yeah, well, that was the first thing. That was what we opened with. Of course, we haven't done, RJ and I'll go through the games that we played recently, which we're about to do that here in just a bit. So, and then hit the rest of the news. But, obviously, and like I said, the only reason that's coming up is because the company happened to be GameStop. If it was, Bob's
else.
Golf Clubs, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it'd be a completely different story. I mean, we'd be talking about it, but your game sites wouldn't be covering this stuff. It only has to do with the GameStop situation. And maybe because of Reddit, too, but I think it's more because of GameStop.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, I think, when it was last Monday when one of the callers on Greg's show called in when the other guy, one of the advertisers, you know, the money manager, his name has been split my mind, but he called in and was talking about that, and one of the callers was wanting to talk to him about that issue that was going on with them. I'm like, what in the world is going on with GameStop? You know, this is not related to what Greg and him usually talk about. And then I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, look, that company has been talked about probably more in the past 2 weeks or just week than they have been talked about probably in the last 5 years, 6 years, maybe even ever.
Yeah.
They've had more discussion, so yeah, it's ongoing, and we look to see what next week brings. So, and hopefully, we'll hear from you next week as well.
Oh, yeah, we definitely will. One way or the other, I'll be listening and tuning in one way. So,
all right,
y'all
buddy.
Have a good afternoon.
Take care, man.
Take care now.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.
RJ, what did you play, by the way?
Outside of Cyberpunk 2077, I got back into Street Fighter V again.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've got back into playing it, and I'm rusty. I'm very rusty in that game. I got to go do some practice because there's been some updates and patches and things like that, and I got to relearn matchups again, so I'm going to have a good time playing that. In terms of Cyberpunk, I found some more glitches since that new
I'm sure
patch
you did.
Came out. 1.11, I believe. I found the hole to nowhere, finally. Behind the school in Santo Domingo, there's like a patch of graphics that's missing. So I stepped in this area and it just falling in the hole to nowhere.
Yeah.
And after about 20 seconds of falling, the game reset itself and put me back to where my last save was. So it's going to be a chore trying to build these characters up without as many glitches as I hope. But
yeah,
it'll get there eventually. Like I said before, it's probably going to have that same effect that what was that game? I forget. It's the one that was at a horrible Hello Games was
No Man's Sky?
Yeah, thank you. No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Based on No Man's Sky, where with horrible
right.
launch and eventually, given time,
they'll get back.
It's
yeah.
Up to snuff.
They'll patch it enough and they'll fix it enough that eventually it will.
Yeah.
It'll be the one. It'll be like, okay, now it's worth playing. But
yeah.
I could be too little, too late in their regard. The thing about No Man's Sky, it was this. God, what's the word? The thing where it just creates worlds out of nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, for whatever reason, I'm my mind's slipping on what that's called.
Was it something progression?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. It's somebody's going to throw procedurally generated. Yes, procedurally generated stuff. Duke Fukum says that, and so the planets are all procedurally generated. So you just whatever it's got. You know, the game has a list of animals and plants and and skyboxes and different things, and it's got a long list of all these things, and it randomly picks like five and throws them together and says, here's a planet.
Mm-hmm.
About the moment you come upon it, and boom, there it is. And so no two planets are alike.
Yeah.
They're all different. And so, but it's got that going for it, which means you can leave one planet, go to another one, and you've got something completely different. Cyberpunk is going to be the same game now that it's going to be 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say that, yes, it's going to be patched, but I'm just saying there's going to be new experiences, is what I'm saying.
Best we can get for is patches, DLC, and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And anything else that you play?
Just those two, really, this week. I mean, it's the same issue that I have with most games. A game that you get fully invested in,
yeah.
You tend to like shun or just forget about all the others that you try. You try to get as much as you can out that one game.
Yeah.
So I pretty much with Street Fighter, I had to like almost force myself to get back into that because you get in a lull or a phase with playing a game, you get that invested in. So it's just been that, really.
For me, when we got done with the show last week, of course, I went home, ran the raid with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
We did the raid. That was it, and then I may have... No. I think I messed around with Destiny on Sunday some, but I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
If I did, that was the last time I touched it at all, because I didn't play any of it this week. If I didn't, and I don't think that I did, because I think what I actually did do was go and I played Spider-Man.
Hmm.
Miles Morales.
Morales, yeah. Good.
Yeah, I played that, I think, all of Sunday, to the point that I beat it on Sunday. I actually finished it. And I also went through, and there's a couple little epilogue mission type stuff, and I did that. So I legit finished the game.
Okay.
And, I created a new Game Plus save, but I actually haven't done anything with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I may. That game is so short, I may do a new Game Plus with it.
How short we talk about? How many hours do you put in before you get done with it?
I'd have to look, but I would say it's probably around 30, maybe less, which I know sounds like a lot, but if you go through it, see, the new Game Plus will be the new Game Plus will be whatever. See, I was doing...
Yeah, because you got the main missions and the side missions,
mm-hmm.
but if you just did main missions and nothing else, it wouldn't be...
yeah,
too long. Probably digits.
Yeah, I'll have the side missions. I'll have the side missions come back on me, but there's like, I don't know. There's these crimes and stuff that you can do while you're going from place to place, just like the first game did. And so, except this time they are tracked. You have like there's an app. It's not an app you download on your phone, but there's an app in the game that kind of keeps track of all this that you're doing. So, you know, I've done all the different crimes. I've done all the different side stories. And so when I start this up again, I can probably go through. But I'll go through probably a lot quicker because, you know, I'm not trying to level up or anything.
Yeah,
everything's there. I've got everything. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes if I decide to do that. So I played that, and then I played... See, I haven't played Destiny at all. Today I played Unravel. I went back to and did some more Unravel on the Xbox.
Okay.
Hadn't done that in a while. Like you were talking about with Street Fighter being rusty and everything. Yeah, same thing. I got into that and I was just like, I don't remember how any of this works.
That's a little string puppet thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yarny. Okay. Yarny is his name. And so I was playing that. What else did we play? I started playing a game called Night Call. Is it Night Call? Night Call. You're a taxi driver, and you're suspicious of a serial killer going around, and so you have to put the pieces together with all the people that you pick up. You talk to them, have conversations.
Yeah.
And you start to kind of piece together
I think I've seen images of this on... I think I looked at the Steam page for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like an interesting little film noir type thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a free game, and it's on... I say it's a free game. It's on Game Pass as a free game. I don't know if it's on PC as a free game, but I do know that it's on the Xbox as a free game.
Yeah.
If you've got Game Pass, of course, which technically doesn't make it free. What else did I play? Last night I tried to play The Medium, which is brand new.
What genre is that?
That is supposed to be horror.
Supposed to be horror.
Supposed to be.
Wasn't scary at all, though.
Yeah, I would say it's more of a suspenseful game. But maybe I'm early into it to where I'm not getting to the horror sections. I'm not sure. And I'm going to pick it back up and go through it again. Just because I'd like to give it more than what I gave it as far as a chance. But I really wasn't feeling it. I'm not fond of the static camera situation that they've got. It's very Resident Evil in that regard. Or at least old Resident Evil.
Classic, okay.
Yeah, classic Resident Evil, where the camera
tank
is
control type thing.
Yeah, the camera is in a fixed position.
Yeah,
and you maneuver within that fixed position until the camera changes, and then you maneuver in that position until the camera changes again. And so it's based on that. It does a real cool thing. I don't know if you know about The Medium at all, but she can basically, I guess, communicate with the dead in their world. And so at times the game will do a split screen, whether it be horizontal, vertical, I don't know if it's randomized, whatever fits the situation. It'll do a split screen. So you'll see your person in the real world interacting and moving with nobody in front of them. Then at the other side of the screen, you'll see the person in the whatever, the upside down. I don't know.
It's all like flip side.
Yeah, basically. Talking to the characters that aren't actually in, you know, that aren't there in that world, whatever. And that's how you solve a lot of puzzles, because while a pathway may be clear for you on the flip side, that pathway doesn't actually exist in the real world. So your character can't go beyond it because of the situation, or vice versa. And then they have to work together to figure out a way to make things work.
Yeah.
I haven't run into any of the horror stuff. There's been some nice little quick jumps, I guess, because I know there was one where you go down to the morgue of a funeral home, and then as you have to go back upstairs, and as you go upstairs again, because the way the camera's positioned, they position the camera where they want you to focus, and so you see a shadow on a wall as you're walking back up, and that shadow moves, and they do a lot of that shadow play, but again, I haven't run into anything that I would define as horror. It's mostly the controls are real stiff to me. Her movement is very stiff. I remember the name of the character. Her movement's very stiff. It's very much like pushing a Roomba into different corners to make sure it gets everything. Mm. Because it's like, okay, did I miss something over here? Is there something over here I can look at or see or gather information?
Yeah.
It's kind of like we do in, it's like I do in a lot of games. They give me free roam like that. I check everything.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure I'm not missing out on anything. So this is like just, you know, push, back up, go this way, turn around, do this, go here. And she's awfully stiff, very stiff.
Yeah.
So, I'm obviously I'm glad I have Game Pass because that means I didn't pay for this game.
Yeah.
But I am playing it and I'm seeing how it goes. What else have I played? Like I said, I played Unravel and I played that. And Nightcall. I guess that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I do want to get back on the PlayStation and get back to Ghost and Assassin's Creed Valhalla as well. But
I still got yet to do the online aspect of Ghost.
Yeah, I realize when I have Game Pass, it comes with EA Play, the service where you can play the EA games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking through my games to download or whatever, and they had Dante's Inferno.
Oh, okay.
And I'm kind of wanting to get back into that.
Yeah.
I finished it.
That was a good little title.
It was. I finished it, and I kind of want to do it again.
Yeah.
But that's going years back. So
look, it's no problem. I mean, we all got unfinished business in our library.
Yeah.
Like I said, you got to finish Wit.
Oh, man.
I
tried to find that. I know I showed the trailer, and I was looking at that, and I was like, yeah, you know, I hate that it's not backwards compatible us, though. So.
Yeah, but Dante's Inferno. I remember playing through Dante's Inferno, and that story really hooked me in. But then all the disturbing imagery of going through every level, how much worse could it get? I just keep playing to see how the level design in that game was just beautiful.
The level design, and so there's two games that I'm just enamored with, and that's Dante's Inferno for the level design, and not necessarily the level design themselves, but just the way that they've designed each level of hell and how that works. And they really, really fascinating on how they creatively did all of this. The other one, of course, was DMC, Devil May Cry.
Mm-hmm.
The reboot, remake, whatever it was. That one that did
The dude with black hair?
Yeah, whatever that one was.
Yeah.
That sort of offshoot thing.
Mm-hmm.
The level design in that was crazy. I loved how they did the levels in that game. Really, really loved how they did those levels. With the way that things would shift and move and it was really, really good. I would go back and play that, but I remember being so frustrated by it.
Mm-hmm.
I did finish it, but I don't know. It's so, just the way they designed that stuff was just fantastic. I know a lot of people don't like that game, but...
Yeah, it was good. I guess the sudden change of story or whatnot. Where's the characters we...
Honestly, that was the first DMC I ever played, Devil May Cry. I did pick up as rentals back on the PlayStation days and mess around with that game, but it never hooked into me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Devil May Cry came out, I don't know where I bought it or got it or played it. Maybe it was a rental. Maybe it was Gamefly. I can't remember. But for whatever reason, that one stuck. For me, and I really enjoyed it. So, anyway, let's go to the phones. I don't know who this is. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
Duke Frugal.
Oh, hey, man.
What's going on?
Well, dang. Okay. Well, how long can you talk to us?
A couple minutes.
Well, because I mean, we got four till we hit the top here, and then we got to take a break. But if you can hold us through the break, I can give you longer than four.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. What's going on? You said you wanted to call in and talk about the most fun game of the 2020s?
I do. I just discovered it.
Stock
market? Been out for almost a year, actually.
It's been out for almost a year.
Yeah.
And it's the most fun game of the 2020s. Now, is it multi-platform or is it a exclusive to something?
I don't know if it's on consoles.
So we're going PC only?
Yeah.
Are we talking indie studio or AAA?
Indie. Their first game.
Well, I will never be able to guess this then. But if it's already been out a year or so, I have no clue what it could be.
Yeah, well, that's a good tease for after the break.
Okay. You should be in radio, sir.
Professional. Pro level tease.
You should be in radio, sir. Well, before we get to that tease, before we do that break, because I've still got some time here before we do. In fact, I tell you what,
we can talk about Cyberpunk because I never got a chance. I wanted to call you guys to talk about it because I get I had some time to play through it. Actually, I sunk a lot of time into it.
I don't think we got enough time to, for you to talk about Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
you probably got a lot to say about that, I would think.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And I was hearing you guys talk about it just now.
Tell you what, let me just put you on hold now. When we come back, we're going to find out, number one, what Duke Frucum thinks about Cyberpunk, but number two, what his most fun game of the 2020s has been, a recently released indie game from last year, I think. So we'll find out what that is along with you guys whenever we
get to it. I'll give you another hint.
Okay.
Unreal Engine, it does use the Unreal Engine.
That doesn't help, but okay.
Okay.
Hang on, and we'll get back to you. Hold on. Okay, when we come back, we'll have all of that and more. We're going to go out here on some music from The Medium. This is called Journey. We'll be back with more in Game Chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a fun little platformer puzzler type thing called The Pedestrian. This is called Clocking In. Welcome back to the show. Let's go right to the phones here because he's been holding on. It is Duke Frucum calling in. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
All right. Which one do you want to start with first? Do you want to start with your thoughts on Cyberpunk, or do you want to go ahead and tell us what that game is?
I guess Cyberpunk, just to get out of the way. Really.
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, you guys probably beaten it down.
No. I haven't played it at all because I got it for... So, my situation, what did you pick it up for, console or PC?
PC.
What kind of graphics card do you have?
So, I have a 1080, or I had a 1080, and there's a side story to that as well, because I was desperately trying to get a 3080 in the...
Yeah.
In the latter months of last year, and I couldn't do it, so I just... The only way I get around it is I ordered a new PC with one in it.
Oh my God!
And then one thing led to another, and I'm like, okay, I might as well get this. I might as well get this amount of RAM. I might as well get this M.2. And then all of a sudden,
so you bought a pre-built, huh?
Well, yeah, I got an Alienware.
Okay, because it was the only way you could probably get one of those cards at this point.
And there was like a week, like shipment too. It was ridiculous. So,
wow.
So that was I was frustrated for the entire, Christmas break and all that. And I played through the entire game on my 1080 that really didn't run very well because I have an ultra-wide. And, when I was reading through the recommended specs, I didn't take that into consideration. It's like, 1080, recommended, all that. But, 1080p, not at, 3440 by 1400, 1440, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I was I was getting, maybe 15 frames a second anytime you look in a mirror. Or look at your appearance. It was bad.
I did not. I know. I had it originally. Was going to get it for PC, but I figured by the time the game releases, maybe I'll have one of those cards. And of course, I didn't. So I switched my pre-order over to an Xbox, and because I got a Series X, and I just figured, okay, I'll play it on the, I'll play it with, I'll play it on there until the upgrade comes out, and then I'll do that. Unless, of course, I get another graphics card, which I have not gotten yet. But anyway, I got that, and that was obviously just a little bit before Christmas. And I didn't put it in the machine. I didn't do anything with it. I started reading about how horrible it was to run on the older systems. My PC, even though I upgraded this year with a new processor, new motherboard, new RAM, everything, new case, everything's new except my power supply and my graphics card. My graphics card is still running a 980 Ti, or a Ti as they're apparently pronounced. And so I just was like, yeah. So I'm still sitting here with that. I got 64 gigs of RAM. I got a great processor. I got all these bells and whistles, but a really old graphics card because you can't get them now. So, or at least it's just really hard to get them. So, I actually haven't played it at all. RJ, of course, has. Mm-hmm. So this will be mostly you guys talking, but go ahead. What was your experience with it?
You're right to hang on to that because I guess I don't regret playing it. I mean, I ended up playing in windowed mode and dumbing it down to 1080 to make it run respectively on 30 frames. So I guess I was happy with that. I think I was still running it on ultra at that point. And most of the bugs that I saw in the videos, the really bad ones, were all on console. And yes, there are tons of bugs on PC. I ran into plenty, but it was manageable. You know, you save often, and it basically is like playing a Bethesda game at launch. Right. You know, there's a lot of funny things at sea. You know,
and I honestly didn't want to go through it playing it on my current card and then switching out in the middle of the game, or just like you did.
Yeah.
Not ever getting a card and having to play it on a really low resolution or a really low settings just to get through it on with a 980 and then play the whole thing and not really get to experience it with the way that it, you know, the way that it looks and everything else. So I just kind of, you know, was just like, I'll just hold off for now. Which is what I'm doing. But I'm hoping that the next gen upgrades for the consoles will, you know, we'll help it out. As far as looks wise, I don't know about bugs. They got a long way to go on the console for bugs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the console on the bugs, that's bad. On the PC, there's still plenty of. I'm not gonna play it again until they fix a couple of things. Well, I got a game breaking bug or a mission breaking bug that is blocking an achievement for me, which is doing all the Cyber Psycho missions.
Mm.
And there's one early one, like very early in the game. You go to the first one, and you know people fall through the map, and you can't finish the mission.
Right.
Mm. So that's one of the ones that broke for me. And there were definitely quite a few times during the game where I couldn't move. I was either in a vehicle and the vehicle wouldn't move, or I was like stuck in place, and I had to go to the last checkpoint to get that going. All of that aside, I had a blast playing through this game, and I really, really loved the story. I loved the ending. I think it's solid. I loved everything about the whole the world. All the characters I thought were really well fleshed out, including some of the ones that you really spend a lot of time with, and that really resonated with me as you go through to the finales. So I'm not going to talk about the finales, obviously.
How many endings are there?
I want to say four.
I've done four.
Okay.
And
were they all satisfying to you then?
And the first one I did was an unconventional one, and it really hit me. Okay. And then I stopped for a while, and I was like, okay, and I was like, all right, if I go back and do this, I wonder what happens, or if I go back and make this choice.
Yeah.
You got to play Scott so we can talk about the endings and kind of talk about those moral choices and all these things that.
Well, let me ask you as far as the ending concerned, is there a point at which it's like here's what decides your ending, or is it a thing that you've got to play through? Do you know what I mean?
You got that point of no return where you before you meet.
Not necessarily a point of no return, but at least a point where it's like I've got
like
four
the Mass Effect effect.
Yeah, I've got four choices to make. And I get a different ending depending on what this choice is, or is it something that is built up throughout playing the game? I don't know.
I'll say this: there's prerequisites to get certain endings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to the underlying question is there is a certain point in the latter portion of the game that decides basically everything. But if you have done the prerequisites, those choices are available at that point.
Yeah. I can't remember what game we played. I don't want to say recently, but I know it was back when James and Jeremy and everybody were on the show as well. Mm-hmm. And I know there was a game that had three different endings, and there was a point in the game, and I can't remember what game it was. It might have been Deus Ex. It was Deus Ex.
Mm-hmm.
It was Deus Ex. The first sort of, you know, Mankind Divided, that one. There's a point where you make a choice. There is the yes no, the yes choice, the no choice, or the don't make a choice, you know, mm-hmm. is your third option. And there was a point in the game where you could, that is present to you. Doesn't matter anything about what you did up to that point. It's just, there's the ending you get based upon what you do. And I guess Mass Effect may be the same way.
Mass Effect is a little bit more, you know, black and white as you're going through. And if you do this, you know, this option will be available later in the game, mm-hmm. but you can't go back and change that. You know, you make those main missions that really do affect kind of the final outcome.
All right. Well, okay. So, and yeah, I'll eventually get to it. I know. It took me, 6 months to play Last of Us Part Two?
It was just a bit, but that was because the way you played it, like you said, you were just going back and forth.
It was bad. And I shouldn't have done that. And I hope I don't do that with Cyberpunk as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I do get around to it, that's basically going to be the biggest problem is when do I get around to it.
Say, Duke, I wanted to ask you something because this was something that happened on the PS4. You said about saving often, but it seems that on the PS4, the game saved like every 10 minutes. On me, there's always that little icon that said saving, or if I was standing idle for a while. It's the same on PC as well?
Yeah, it does do that, but like to be even safer, I would just, you know, pound F5 or, you know, just to make sure that when I was going into something, if I did get to a situation where, you know, there was a closer point to kind of recover.
Yeah.
You know, you just have that luxury to do that.
Love me some quick saves. I remember that. F5 and what was the other one? F6? Was that the load? I can't remember. I remember. I don't know what game it was, but it had the quick save stuff, and so you hit F5, and then as soon as you realized, nope, I didn't do it wrong, you'd hit F6, and it would load whatever you just did on F5, and it's just like, okay, good.
Yeah, I was really relying on the auto saves that it was doing, mostly because it would, like, at any given point, it would, like,
shock. Anyway, go ahead.
It just cancels, it crashes on me.
Yeah.
But I was never really too far from where I was, you know, when I reloaded the game and everything like that, I wasn't really too far from anything else like that. But also when it was, I knew something important was coming or I had thought something important was coming, I would always have that quick save option right then and there to jump in on that. So at least the crashes weren't too too bad to deal with.
Yeah.
RJ, did you hit any game-breaking bugs like that really frustrated you, or was it
I know you ran into some bugs, but what about game-breaking?
Game-breaking?
Either you couldn't get an achievement or you couldn't finish the mission or something like that.
Obviously,
probably nothing, not since nothing, you finished it.
No, nothing with achievements. Like you were saying, I never, all the achievements I got, I got through, like the Cyber Psycho mission. It took a while to get through it and find them all, but when I finally did do it, the awards came up, you know, immediately that I got it all. Also with clearing out sections, all the crimes in a section of the city, things like that. Nothing hampered my ability to get rewards and trophies in the game. Just significant Bethesda level glitches, the type of glitches where it's annoying, like you said, the story's interesting enough to make you persevere and keep going through to the end. It was that type of situation.
The kind of Bethesda level glitches where your character like rides on top of the car as you're driving it, or
the other ones,
people are stuck in objects, and it's funny to see.
I remember getting stuck once, but it was something I couldn't jump over, get across. That was a reset. There was also something else that a little annoying thing here. Items that look like they could be picked up, but as much as you walk around it, you can't pick these up. Like there was junk items that I could use to get parts, and I would, no matter where I was on the screen, I could not pick it up. It was just sitting there, like especially in your apartment. There's a space near a vending machine that has an icon that says pick up, and no matter where I walk around that vending machine, I cannot pick this item up. And there was a lot of things like that as I was walking around the map for Night City. So that was one of the bug that always got me.
I had a couple too, you know, where, like you said, if you're trying to jump over something, sometimes you fall through the map a little bit.
Yeah.
And it resets.
Yeah. The only fault, the only fault of the map I had was that, like I said earlier, was near the school in Santo Domingo. I found that little patch of graphics that was just missing. So yeah, after the long fall, it reset. But I haven't had anything like that. Just that one spot so far. So far,
I would say the most annoying thing that happened to me was dialogue talking over each other.
Yes, that did happen. I would have multiple dialogues, often from the same person, popping up. I think it was a brain dance. Where you had to find out where Evelyn was. Mm-hmm. And during the brain dance, I was like going through multiple things in the area to look at. And as I found one, the dialogue would start. But as it was going, I went to another part and the dialogue started immediately. So it was like overlapping with each other when we were talking about the items you found. So it can get very confusing if you're not ready for that.
Yeah, a couple of times, I think, when one of the main characters calls you.
Mm-hmm.
You first of all, you can't decline the call. It picks up automatically. So if you're in the middle of a dialogue string already and they call you, now they're talking to you, but you're trying to pay attention to what's going on in front of you. And that happened a couple of times.
Yeah, you got his subtitles in that case. Just trying to figure out what's being said and something like that.
Or how about the subtitles that just stay on the screen forever and they don't go away?
I haven't had subtitles stay on the screen forever, but I have had item descriptions stay on the screen forever. I've seen that before. Or the first time you go see your stash, the stash description stayed on the screen for a ridiculous amount of time. I'm out the apartment, I'm out the building, I'm going to see Vic, and the stash description is still sitting on the screen. That was another annoying thing that happened.
So it sounds like you and I had a pretty same experience kind of going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glitches galore, but the story was enough to hook you in to keep to see it through to the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't put it down. I had to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So it was effective.
Yep. Or going through it with different classes to see how the different dialogues work, because there's certain things that you can say or do, or I'm told certain missions you can only get unless you're a certain class as well.
Yeah, there's a couple. So, by the way, how did you start the game? What
Nomad.
Background?
I started a Nomad.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. So that was, I don't know, maybe we had the same.
But I have started another run through with Street Kid, so it's a different setup in that one, of course. And there's a little benefit for Street Kid is you start at the Coyote Cojo.
Got it.
In that one, so you instantly get a fast travel spot right then and there, instead of having to hunt for it with the other two classes, really. So that's one benefit right there.
Man, you're gonna play through it all over again,
right
out of the gate. Wow,
he does it, man. Okay, so what was this game from last year that you said was your the most
highly recommended,
the most fun game of the 2020s?
Yeah, I haven't played that many games in 2020.
Well, no, exactly, because it's only gonna be what the 2020s is just last year and this year.
It's Cyberpunk and Deep Rock Galactic.
Really?
Yes.
We've played music for that.
This game rules. If you got, I mean, it's a four-player co-op game, and it kind of it brings me back to like the fun days of TF2. But if you get four people in a game playing with the four different classes, and really it's just a game about mining. It's almost like Minecraft meets TF2 meets. You know, other co-op games, and you get like a digger and a engineer and a gunner and what's the fourth class? Can't remember. But you're basically just going in mining minerals, getting points for it, and fighting bugs in these caves. And it's just a simplified version co-op game. And it's just a blast. Like, there's a humor to it that the developers kind of injected with, you know, you're at your base and there's a bar for you to kind of order beers for all your co-op members, and then just goofy stuff happens, and then you select your missions, you go in, you upgrade your stuff. It's just straightforward, simple, but it's a blast, and I wish I had played it earlier in 2020, because I would have sunk a ton of time into it and tried to get a lot of people to play it, but But I highly recommend it. You guys got to check it out if you haven't played it.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up a bit. So team-based, class-based co-op. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And it's just those four classes, right?
Yeah, four classes. Digger, engineer.
Driller?
Driller.
I'm just looking at pictures of the I'm looking at a picture of the site, and I see the guy with the pickaxe, the guy with the gun, and, well, this guy got a mug of beer, so I don't know what he's holding. But I see the guy with drill bits, and I'm thinking a driller or something like that.
And it's got that colorful, kind of cartoony style. You know, it's really reminiscent of PF2.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more, fluorescent colors and stuff like that. And, there's a scout that basically has the ability to kind of light up the caves for you to kind of see where the minerals are. And, of course, there's, like, rarer minerals to find, like gold. And then there's, a mineral that you can dig around that gives you, a resupply. But, of course, each different class has got different weapons. So you got the miner's got the flamethrower, the scout has just a regular shotgun, the engineer's got the minigun. Oh no, that's the gunner. The gunner is the minigun. I'm playing as the what did you say it was, RJ?
I said driller because he's got drill bits on his hands or whatever.
So his specialty is he actually has these two giant drill bits that can just mine through the walls, and it gets you to point.
And you're playing on PC, I take it?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I guess it is on console, so maybe
it is. Yeah, Lethal was saying that it's on Xbox and PC Game Pass,
mm-hmm.
And so which means that I can play it because it's on Game Pass, so I can play it on PC or on Xbox.
I'm looking at the store page now. Is it
what
cross platform?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't checked. If it is, hey, great.
That would rule.
More of a reason to play.
If it is, that's fantastic. Let me see. Deep Rock. No, not Deep Rock. Deep Rock Galactic. Come on. Here we go. Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Crossplay is the first thing that comes up. Okay. Crossplay info. The Xbox One Windows 10 version from the Microsoft Store is an Xbox Play Anywhere title. This means by buying the game from the Microsoft Store, you own it on Xbox One and Windows 10. The game supports cross-platform play. This means that the Xbox One and Windows 10 store version are able to play together. This also means that you are not able to play with people who have bought the Steam version.
Oh.
Yeah.
Basically,
if you bought it on, if you've got it on PC, but through, the Microsoft Store, then I can play with you on Xbox. But no, PC players and Xbox players can't do it.
Got it.
I don't know. Well, that was on their website, so obviously it's updated.
Yeah, Steam version is not currently.
It's not
supporting cross-platform play. Yeah, means you're not able to play with people who have bought the Xbox One /Windows 10 version. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So, all right. Well, Duke, we appreciate hearing from you, man.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you guys, and I try to listen in on Saturdays when I can. You can probably hear my daughter in the background.
That was my next question for you. Is the family doing all right? Everybody doing good?
Family's doing great. Number two is due in 4 weeks.
Oh, so. God, your daddy part two, man.
That's right. We got trying to get the upstairs ready for him. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you so much.
When is this one? You said it was
March 11th.
Do you know boy, girl? Do you know?
Boy. So one girl, one boy.
All right. Well, good, man. Give us an update when we get closer to that and let us know. So, but good hearing from you. Yeah, thanks, man.
See you guys. Bye.
Take care, man.
All right. You want to get in on the phone calls? Give us a call, 272-9228. Yeah, Drunk Degenerate says, wow, Microsoft players and Steam players can't play together. That sucks. Yes. Yes, it does. I would have thought maybe that they'd allow it, but they don't.
I've never heard that before. I mean, it's probably happened before. I don't play PC games much.
What?
It's the same PC. Playing on the PC, you can't play together because it's because of where you bought it from.
Yeah,
you see PC, PlayStation. Not
no,
to see
no,
that,
no.
But
no, that's a thing.
Same
dude.
Machine,
because
but you
I
can't
can,
play together because you play from but you bought it from a different store.
If I bought a game off of Epic Game Store, I can't play with people who are on Steam. That's both PC.
PC. Yeah.
Yeah. If I bought, you know, playing Assassin's Creed, well, I can't. That's not. Let's take Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay. Right.
As a pure multiplayer type game.
Mm-hmm.
If I bought it off the Ubisoft store, I can't play it with the people who bought it off the Steam store. I don't even know if it's for sale in the Steam store, to be honest with you. But yeah, there's a lot of restrictions like that.
Okay.
And it's pretty crappy. And yeah, Lethal Migraine, you would think that they would be able to share the same servers on the back end. It would be able to play together, but no. Maybe it's something they're going to do down the line, but that's not the case. I know Destiny is, Bungie is working on making that happen for Destiny. In fact, that's going to be at some point this year, and I don't know when, but this year sometime, man, you and I are going to be able to play Destiny 2 together, finally, after, what, 2-3 years?
A bit of a minute, yeah. It's been a minute.
Since Destiny 2 launched.
Yeah.
Because you and I played Destiny 2 up until November when it finally released on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to keep, you know, I tried to keep updated, but man, the PC was just killing it.
Yeah.
I couldn't, you know.
We knew.
Mouse and keyboard support, man, I just couldn't.
Yeah, we knew since when you started playing on PC, it was a wrap.
Oh, it really
was. You weren't coming back to the PS4.
It really
was. We knew that.
But now I can come back to the PS4 because the game state saves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back on console. I don't know if it was on Xbox or PlayStation. I've gone back to play Destiny on there just because it was. I think my PC was rendering video or something,
mm-hmm.
and I went to play it on the console. Oh man!
But I mean performance wise, though, that's what I was talking about.
Not necessarily performance wise. It's more controls. It's more going back from ever how many years of playing mouse and keyboard to putting a controller in my hand and, you know, not being able to hit things that are right in front of me because of the way the gun works or just because of how, you know, doing a controller to aim with. I haven't gotten it back. Now, I know that I was really good with it back when I used to do that all the time, but I left that to go do the PC side of things, and that gives me a completely different control scheme with the keyboard and the mouse and a much more accurate one.
Yeah, more precision, because all you have to do is get close enough.
Yeah, but I've lost, I've lost that controller skill that I had playing Destiny with a controller,
because
I didn't stick with that. So anyway, you and I sometime this year will be able to play Destiny together. He runs over his cord. We are at a break and we haven't even gone through a bit of news here, so when we come back from break, we're gonna do just a spitfire of news here and go down as much of it as we can. I know, Evans, I can plug a controller into the PC, but why would I want to do that when I've got a mouse and keyboard, man? It's more like, why don't you plug a mouse and keyboard into your console? That's what I should do, and I tried to do that way back when. There was a device that, and this goes way back before, I don't remember. I tried to play a game with my mouse and keyboard on a console. There was a device you could use that you plugged into the machine, into the console, and it through USB, and the end of it had that keyboard mouse function, the plugs before mice and keyboards had USB plugins.
But I saw something like that was on a Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Because Dreamcast had a mouse and keyboard hookup.
It was old.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all coming up. We've got music here from a game called Call of the Sea, which is available on Xbox Game Pass. This is a track called Rain. We will be back with more in Game Chat after this.
Thank you.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Cyber Shadow. Stage 1.
Retro.
Yeah, it is. Very retro. All right, so we've only got a little less than 30 minutes to finish out the show here, and we haven't talked about a bit of news. We did talk about the GameStop stock. So yeah, that was covered as we could. Cyberpunk 2077 is the biggest digital game launch of all time. Which, sure, you can count that in your win column, I suppose. With like maybe 5 other things. And then in your loss column, you can count the, I don't know, 75 some odd bugs and problems that the game's got right now.
And counting.
Yeah, I know. So
even patches didn't fix them
all. I know. It's like, sure. Drunk to Dinner, did you try the Resident Evil Village demo? Yes, I did. I did. But we talked about that last week, I believe.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I did play that last week. We talked about that. I did run through the demo. It's a very quick demo. And it's not, and it's, you know, I say it's a demo, or well, we call it demo, and it is, but it's more of a visual showcase, is basically all it was. It's like, here's what this looks like, because there's no combat.
Was it like a PT? Silent
Hill? No. Even shorter than that, and even less than, I mean, PT, well, there's a lot going on with PT.
Okay.
This is Resident Evil, this demo, which is called Maiden on the store, is just basically you escaping from the dungeon as not even the main character of the game. This is something completely set up just for the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. So, it could be a playable teaser, but anyway. There's another studio developing a new Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game. What else do we have? Warner Brothers Games said they will now have a heavy focus on a live service, which I hate that. I thought they were going to kind of back away from that, but that does not leave me hope for their Batman games that they're working on. Suicide Squad and also Gotham Knights. It's not... I'll wait to see more.
Yeah.
I'm not hopeful, though. Which really sucks, because Rocksteady, with their Batman games they did, was great, and I was just hoping they were either going to move to another character and continue on, make more of the Batman stuff or something like that. But no, they're doing Suicide Squad, which I have no problem with, but they're doing it probably for a games as live service type thing, which is not what I want. Maybe you do, I don't know, but it's not something I've ever enjoyed. Outside of, I guess, I don't even know if Destiny counts as a live service type thing, but yeah, not something I'm looking forward to. Animal Crossing announced some updates. They're doing the Valentine's Day events, but they got the festival going on now. Next month in March, I say next month, March. I know February begins Monday. Next in March, they're going to have a Mario-themed update, which will be really cool. And might put me back in there for a little bit just to see what's going on with that. And I think there's some sort of Hello Kitty cross thing coming on. I don't remember what it is, but it's for Animal Crossing. What else do we have? Biomutant, we got a release day for that, which is May 25th. And I'm rushing through this stuff, which, you know, if I keep going too fast, I'll be out before we get done. Oh, we got our PlayStation Plus games for February announced. I will tell you what those are as soon as I can see what they are. You've got Destruction All-Stars for PlayStation 5. So if you're
what
on,
is that?
I don't know actually, but if you're on PlayStation 5, you'll be able to download Destruction All-Stars.
Sounds like a All-Stars. I'm thinking it's
entertain
like
the crowds by bringing controlled chaos to the vehicular combat arena of this metal-crunching multiplayer game. Pick one of 16 superstar competitors, then leap into 4 game modes using timing, tactics, and skills to cause carnage behind the wheel or create havoc with your partner, your parkour skills. Parkour in a car?
Rocket League.
Yeah, I guess so. Perfect your character's abilities, including a hero vehicle unique to them, to give you the edge in free-for-all battles or team challenges, and become Global Destruction Federation champion. Also hitting PlayStation Plus is Control Ultimate Edition. Didn't you just buy that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd bought that.
I was looking at the price recently. I was doing that, maybe seeing how much the price was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's vehicle combat. Okay.
Yeah, it's Control Ultimate Edition on PS5 and PS4, and then Concrete Genie will also be available as well. So there you go. Pinball Effects revealed a next-gen version of their game. Zen Studios is currently rebuilding its pinball simulator for launch on next-gen platforms in 2021. The new version of Pinball FX will utilize the technology of platforms like the PS5 and the Series X to deliver the flashiest, most visually arresting pinball PFX experience to date. Not only that, but Zen is currently working on a whole host of new gameplay modes and additions, including Pinball Royale, a sort of last ball rolling affair. A new career mode and score attack challenges await, as do brand new online leagues, limited time events, and even seasonal content. That's great. I would love a revitalization from Zen in their pinball stuff. They've been putting out tables. That's fine. But to reorganize, kind of, okay, we're going to upgrade our, you know, the visuals. Mm. And we're going to add in a bunch of different play modes and seasonal event. Just kind of like, okay, look, pinball's your thing. Stick with it and make something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can control it. You've got sky's the limit on what you want to do. You want to come up with a different type of multiplayer pinball thing? Figure it out and make it happen. You're the guys that can do it. So, completely happy to see that. I haven't played Pinball Effects in forever.
Mm. Yeah, your Silver Ball Sundays.
I haven't done that in a long time. I haven't done my Silver Ball Sundays in a while. Epic released stats for the Epic Games Store. Monthly active users rose from 32 million in 2019 to 56 million in December of 2020. Let's see. Although Valve announced that they had 120 million monthly active users on Steam. Of course, that's the case. Let me see. $700 million spent by PC players in the Epic Games Store. What else do we have? 103 free games. 749 million plus free games have been claimed. That's a lot. So, yeah. So, I always like when we get end of the year stats on some of these things.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are just mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I didn't even highlight, but it's every game delay announced in 2021 so far. What do we have? Outriders is one of them. That's delayed from February to April. Pragmata was delayed from next year to the year after that, 2023. Elite Dangerous Odyssey got pushed to the fall. Hogwarts Legacy was delayed this year to next year. Cyberpunk's free DLC was delayed from early this year to later this year. Riders Republic, I don't know what that is. Lord of the Rings, Gollum, that got delayed from this year to next year. Returnal was pushed back to April from March. And that's what we've got so far for the year, for this year, 2021 so far. Destiny 2 is making some changes. I haven't even read the This Week at Bungie post for this week, so where they outlined all of these changes. I have not even read it. But apparently they're getting rid of the weekly bounties, I think. Things are going to change for next season, and I really need to read up on that. But and then the rest of the stuff that I had in here was about stock market stuff for GameStop. So, and I think we've pretty much beat that into the ground. Not that that means we won't bring it up next week, because next week we'll see what happens with the stock market as far as
GameStop. This is something everyone's paying attention to for for the long haul. So,
and by everyone, I mean like everyone. It's not something it's interesting to see it happen, because never seen anything like this before.
Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we have here for, this is from gameindustry.biz. It says, Xbox Series X and S launch helped push Microsoft gaming revenue up 51%. The next gen console debut was the most successful in their history, according to Microsoft, as game revenues passed $5 billion for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
They are not getting rid of Game Pass anytime soon. Microsoft today reported earnings for the quarter ended December 31st, 2020, with overall gaming revenues up 51%. Xbox hardware alone was up 86%. The content and services revenue was up a less dramatic 40%, with the company crediting the rise to third-party titles, Game Pass subscriptions, and then first-party titles. The division's bottom line was also up. Additional figures on Microsoft's gaming growth emerged during a conference call on Wednesday. Or actually, it was probably Tuesday. This was reported on Wednesday. Game revenues passed $5 billion for the first time last quarter. Microsoft has also benefited from the success of developers using its various services like cloud technology and stuff like that. So, good time for Microsoft. No problems there. Especially not like what it was when they launched their last console, whenever Sony was $100 cheaper.
Yeah,
than what they were offering.
A lot of stumbles in that launch.
Yep. So, yeah, that ZeniMax pressure. Yes. No. That whole thing. I remember where it was like Microsoft's the earnings that they had made paid for that Bethesda purchase like two or three times over.
Mm-hmm.
So they made their money back and then some.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to make their money back on that purchase. With Bethesda and what they've got to offer. So it's going to be good for them. The Medium, by the way, the recent game, that's by the guys Bloober, who did Blair Witch. And I want to say it was Layers of Fear. Was another one that they did. But they made their cost back on that game within, like, I don't know, first 24, 48 hours of the game's release. They made their money back. So Hitman did the same thing. Hitman 3, IO Interactive recouped all of their expenses within the first week of the game's release. So that's always good. Hopefully they made more than just getting it back. Hopefully they got a profit off of it too. Oh, goodness. Okay, so basically that's it, and we got about another 10 minutes to go. We could talk about GameStop. I don't necessarily want to. Guys over at Kotaku? Yeah. They gathered $1,000 together and jumped in on that whole thing. What did they pick? Did they pick AMC? They picked AMC Entertainment. They picked AMC as their thing. I should say we didn't invest anything that would hurt us to lose. Both of us had a clear understanding of what was at stake playing this little game together. We knew we weren't going to get rich if we did earn some money, and if we lost it all, well, that's how the stock market goes. Let's see. I'm still looking here. Remind me of days lurking. Yeah. This is a whole, oh goodness. This is a very long article.
Well, the terms that you
You know what? Never mind. Hang on. Let's see. They used Robinhood to do this. And when Robinhood stopped, yeah, there we go. We got in on the joke, we made a little money, and then we got out. Except our plans to reinvest are now shot because we can't buy any of the stock we want. Because of what happened with the Robinhood app, where they stopped that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Robinhood is now facing numerous class action lawsuits.
Yeah,
for what they did.
I did see about that. They're getting sued.
Yep. More than the spigot being arbitrarily turned off, the people really being hurt by this do not have the resources hedge fund managers do. They won't be able to ask wealthy friends for bailouts. They'll just be left out. It sucks. All of this is so deeply fake, and now, before our eyes, the facade is ripped away. The irony that all of this is going down because of an app called Robinhood is not lost on me. Rob from the rich to give to the... Yeah, no, that's not exactly what happened. When things calm down, maybe I'll go back to Robinhood and find another app to do some long-term investing. It seems like all the trading apps are capitulating to their Wall Street overlords, so it'll be hard to find one reputable enough that still has a spine. I kind of agree with you on that one.
That's true.
Like, none of them that I had... Like, I've got three different ones here, and two of them... When Robinhood did their thing, one of them followed shortly after and did the same thing, And then the other one that I had didn't do it until Friday. It was at Friday they said, we're kind of looking at this, and we haven't completely stopped it, but we're going to kind of limit you to what you can do. You know, you want to buy shares, that's fine, but you can only own this many. You know, they were limiting a lot of it, which just seems, I mean, I hate to sound like the guy that, you know, thinks the government's out to get him or something like that, but I don't even know if the government has any involvement in this thing. But yeah, it feels, you know, we talked about it. It feels like a rigged game.
Yeah.
It's carnival games, mm-hmm. You know? Well, when everybody talks about gambling, you talk about a casino. What's the main rule of the casino? The house always wins.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You can just look at it that way. It's not always the case, and you can make some money off of it, but you can also lose a lot of money. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at this stuff. What are you going to be playing next week, RJ?
Still going to be going with Cyberpunk again. Like I said, I've started a new class as a street kid, see how that changes the game up. And probably a little bit more of a Street Fighter V if I pull myself away from Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I don't know of anything that's coming out next week.
Or if you catch anything on sale.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Game releases next week. See if there's anything.
Although I do plan on picking up Chicken Police. I've been talking about it enough. I may as well go ahead and pick it up right now. Because I think there's a sale on it. Well, I think Wario64 posted something about it being on sale on Steam. Because I think it's $20 on PlayStation Store right now.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less on Steam. So I'll just check it out and see.
Neo 2, the complete edition, will be out on PlayStation next week, November the 5th.
Hmm.
I'm trying to see if there's anything that sticks out.
November?
I meant February, or okay. February the 5th. I'm sorry.
Because I think I bought Neo 2 when it was like $10, but the DLC was 30 total, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything that is, I don't want to say standing out, but anything that kind of rings a bell in my head saying, ooh, this is a game. Werewolf the Apocalypse, I don't know what that is.
Hmm.
But that's coming out next week as well. But Neo 2 was the one that kind of stood out. And the one that Chris mentioned. Yeesh.
Mm.
Monstrum Nox. I don't know. So. It is greed, pure and simple. But yeah. What I'll be playing is, I don't know. Like I said, I'll give the medium another shot.
Yeah.
And see what I can do with that.
Gives more time getting used to the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do want to put more time in Ghost and in Assassin's Creed. I've kind of let Assassin's Creed sit on the sidelines for a pretty long time now.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to jump back into that. There's an enormous amount of games available on Game Pass. You know, sometimes I'll just go through and I'll look. And like I said, that's where I stumbled upon Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Night Call was the other one. There's a couple of others that I'm kind of looking at. But at the same time, I don't want to. I think Yes, Your Grace was another one. Sure. You play a king or a queen, and basically people come to you with problems and you either you either help them or you deny them or whatever, and you try to
is it something like Papers, Please?
Yeah,
you got to make decisions and deal with the consequences later or something like that.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
If you remember, there was a game, and I can't remember the name, but I played a little bit of it at PAX, I don't know how many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was taking place during the French Revolution.
Okay.
And you were a judge, basically. And you were reading what the complaint was, yeah, or what the lawsuit was, or whatever it might have been.
Is this the one that looks like the imagery was looking like it came out of a classic Renaissance book?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it looked like a painting.
I can't remember the name of it,
mm-hmm,
but you had to make a decision knowing that there was unrest.
Yeah.
You had to make a decision that not only was a just decision, but also satisfied the public, because...
Yeah. Yeah,
they were not always one of the same.
It was not exactly justice you were going to get with every decision. You were going to have to make sure you have to satisfy a lot of people. Which
yeah,
is
because if you didn't,
you can't satisfy the whole.
Yeah, if you didn't, they would overthrow. Upset. Exactly. Yeah. And I really wish I could remember the name of that game. But that's Yes, Your Grace. I don't think is. I think it's much more That game that I was talking about is very serious. Yes, Your Grace sounds like more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of funny sort of thing. So, I mean, I've downloaded it. I don't know, but
yeah,
we'll see about.
Was it called We the Revolution?
Yes, We the Revolution.
We the Revolution.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yes. We the Revolution.
I just looked up Revolution French Judge game.
Yeah, good job.
And that just sparked it up, but yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Goodness. So, yeah, what?
I was just looking at the description here. Paris, the times of the French Revolution. The player controls a judge, an alcoholic, and a gambler of the Revolutionary Tribunal. His objective is to preside over court proceedings, judging people brought in front of him. Revolutionaries and their enemies, criminals, and ordinary citizens. Along the course of the story, the protagonist will be expanding his influence over 18th century Paris, but at the same time will be forced to fight for the lives of his family and his own. Man. Yep. Yeah, it's not the way he describes it, like you have to try to satisfy everybody, which is impossible.
It is.
In a leadership
role.
So you got to find the balance.
You got
to find the balance, yeah.
So anyway, folks, thanks for joining us in the chat room. Thanks everybody for speaking in the chat room. We haven't gone Oh god, there's a lot of people in there. Ziggy Segura is in there. Violet's TV, Stephen Van Damme, Poop Minty. You win the screen name of the day. Multile. You haven't heard from Multile in a while. Lethal Migraine, Evans, 041111. Duke Frugum, Drunk Degenerates, Commander Root, Casket Sharp, A10, another TV viewer, and AC Wraith. Man, thank you guys so much for hanging out there. We really, really appreciate it. Again, download the show from iTunes. Follow us on Twitch. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to us on Twitch. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Get all these shows again. And we can't thank you enough for your support and everything. And you guys showing up week after week really means a lot. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Saturday. I'll leave you here with music from Night Call. It's very subdued. So you know what? Sit back with your drink. Maybe light something. And cigar, cigarette, whatever. Pipe, maybe. Maybe this is pipe music.
I don't know. Please clarify when you say light
something.
Yeah,
exactly. I know. And just enjoy the
music.
As
opposed to the couch.
Of Driving Through Paris from Night Call. Have a good one. We'll see you next Saturday.